Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We are located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're so glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is truly a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Just give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, I Am Still Grateful.
There's a word from the Lord today. At the beginning of this year, we started the year with one word representing our theme, and the word is grateful. We said to you on New Year's Eve that throughout this year, 2026, our overall series of messages is simply called the Grateful Series. We began that Grateful Series with seven messages called Grateful for Something New. We're returning now to the Grateful Series. And quite honestly, I have been waiting and looking forward to preaching this message for months. God gave me this message in 2025. As I was contemplating all the things that life takes us through, God dropped this message in my spirit. But let me just make sure I'm in the right place. Are there any grateful people in here? Whew. Listen, this is a word for everybody who's ever gone through something. And the enemy tried to steal your gratitude. The enemy tried to steal your joy. But the devil is a liar. Amen. Listen to what God says. Job chapter 1, verses 20, 21, and 22. The New Living Translation. I just want to make sure I have time to preach this. The good news is that I don't have to go anywhere at 3 o'clock and preach. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I want to lay it all out right here today. Listen to what God said through his word that he inspired to write in the book of Job. Job stood up, verse 20, and tore his robe in grief. Later in the message, I'm going to put this in context and let you see what preceded this verse in verse 19. But let's just look at verse 20. He stood up, tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. Somebody shout out, worship. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Oh, but look at these words. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me just read that again. And the Lord has taken it away, but I can still praise the name. One more time to get on the devil's nerve. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away, but I can still praise the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. We ask God's blessings on the reading and the hearing of his word. In this series, the Grateful Series, here is the message that God has given me for today as a part of this year-long series. Look at somebody next to you. Look at somebody next to you. Don't say it if you don't mean it. If you don't mean it, just pantomize. Just let your mouth move, but nothing comes out. Because I don't want to be responsible for you lying in church, okay? But if you mean it, and you know you mean it, look at somebody and say, here's the subject, put it up on the board. I am still grateful. One more time. Look at somebody and say, I am still grateful. Clap those hands, take your seat. I had a hard time, but I'm still grateful. Been knocked down. Woo! Still grateful. The old church says, been buked and scorned. Yeah. But I am still, I'm still grateful. Listen. Ooh, we had to cut off the 8 o'clock folk just to make sure that they understood this. At the beginning of this year, we talked about being grateful. We issued 3 challenges at the beginning of this year. We said, number one, we will choose not to complain. Look at somebody and say, I can, but I won't. Second is we will identify something every day that you are grateful for. My mom tells me every day I talk to her, I ask her the same question. She gives me the same answer. How was your day? Her answer every day to me was, every day is a good day. Every day is a good day. Identify something every day that we're grateful for. Third and the final one is to live a life that reflects how grateful you are. Our tithe shall reflect how grateful we are. Let the church say amen. Our conversations should reflect how grateful we are. Our attitudes should reflect how grateful we are. Listen, being grateful when things are going well in our lives is one thing. However, being grateful when things are not going so well is another thing. Look at somebody and say, that's another thing. Clapping and shouting and praising the Lord and shabbaking God and giving God the glory when your ship has come in is one thing. My wife came home yesterday. She said, the stores were so crowded. What's up? I said, tax refund. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Okay? My wife shops at these exclusive high-end stores, Dollar Tree, Dollar General. Those are her favorite stores, okay? She said, the line was so long. I said, there's some grateful folk because they got a tax refund. But I wonder if your refund did not come in. I wonder if you have more bills than money, or you're still grateful. Are you still grateful? Gratitude is easier when life is good. Am I right about it? When our prayers are answered, our bills are all paid up, our health is vibrant and strong, then it's easy to be grateful. Clap your hands, say amen. Lord, I love you. When everything is going right in your life, that's not a struggle to be grateful. But perhaps the ultimate test of our gratitude is not when life is easy, but when life is not so easy. When things are falling apart all around us. When we lose things or people that are precious to us. When we're on our way back from the cemetery. When we are marching behind that casket down the aisle. When we have to stand in the hospital and watch our loved one's body deteriorate back to the dust. It's not so easy. When our money is funny, change is strange, people are acting like they lost their mind, those who you thought you can trust stab you in the back. It's not so easy. The true test of our gratitude to God is not how we feel about God when He's blessing us. The true test of our gratitude to God is how we feel about Him when it seems like, or it doesn't feel like. Because the truth is, God always blesses you. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it. True test of our gratitude is when we are upset at God. I just want us to be real and make sure that we are totally transparent. When we feel like blaming God for our discontentment, when it seems as if it is easier to blame God for not healing our loved ones. True test of our gratitude is that when God allows the house to go into foreclosure. True test of our gratitude is that when we get the pink slip, when our job is eliminated, and we're wondering, what is our next move? Can you, Psalms 34, God, then, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's easy to Psalms 34, God, when things are right in our lives. But I just want to make sure I'm in the right place. Is there anyone in here who's ever had to give God your best praise on your worst days? Any living witnesses that know how to praise God in the midst of a valley experience? Woo! Anybody who don't quite understand why God chose to do or not to do what you wanted Him to do, but yet you bless Him at all time. Can I just keep it honest and on you? I'm not one of those super duper holy preachers. I'm real transparent. There have been times in my life in which I was mad at God. I had a big time attitude with God. And when you get mad at folk, you kind of shut down. Am I right about it? There were times in which my prayers were short and my praises were reserved because I thought and I believed that God could have handled it differently. Why didn't you raise Him up? Why didn't you touch your body? Why didn't you make a way out of nowhere? I remember something. This is for Quanda Williams and others. Sister Phyllis Williams was as close to me as anybody. I love Phyllis. I loved her. And when she was battling cancer, Deacon Jimmy, I prayed for Phyllis day in and day out, every night, every morning. I said, Lord, touch her body. If there's anybody that deserves to be healed, Phyllis Williams deserved to be healed. God did not answer my prayer. Had to stay here, stand up here and eulogize my sister. And I was angry at God. I didn't want to talk to Him anymore. I didn't feel like worshiping Him anymore until God reminded me, I don't owe you an explanation.
And then God dropped 2 Corinthians 5:1. If this earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, I've got a building of God, a house not made by hand. God said, you're not upset for Phyllis, you're upset for you. Because Phyllis is in a better place. You ought to praise God that she made it. But I had an attitude, did not feel like worshiping God. It was hard having an attitude of gratitude when you are going through something. But we must remember what we say all the time is this: God is good, and all, I'm gonna try it once again. God is good. All the time, and all the time, God. I preached this a couple weeks ago for Pastor George Patton and the Church of True Believers. God said, "You will live to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Woo, who am I preaching to? Look at somebody and say, "Before you die, God will show up in your life. God is still good." Anybody know you're going to testify before you die? Woo! God said, you've got to testify that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So when we think about gratitude and think about being grateful, the challenge is, can we still be grateful when things are not going our way? Now, perhaps there is no better example in all of biblical scholarship than that of the testimony of Job. Perhaps there's nobody in all of the pages of Holy Scripture whose testimony answers that question like Job. Let us, for the next few moments, turn to Job's testimony. Look at someone whose gratitude remained consistent. Somebody say consistent. Despite all of the horrific and horrible things that occurred in his life. Story of Job is outlined and written in the book of Job. It is outlined in Job chapter 1. I just want to share some things with you in Job chapter 1 upstairs, if you can get it for me. Sorry for the short notice, NLT translation, beginning at verse 1. God told me just to share some things. I want to put it in some context for you. Job chapter 1. Job was a very rich man. But there's some things that it outlines in chapter 1. I want to start at the first verse, if you will. Job chapter 1. There was once a man named Job. The Bible says, and it's on the screen, and he lived in the land of Uz. He was, listen, this is why I wanted to get to this. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. Drop down to verse number 2. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Go with me upstairs. He owned, here's what Job owned, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys. I don't know how many male donkeys he had. Yeah. I guess the females were the most important, I guess. 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, here it is. Do I have time to preach this? The richest person in the entire area. Verse number 4. Listen to this. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. Job's children were like our children. And that means they always gave us reasons to pray for them. Okay. Amen, somebody. I want to read this. I have time to preach this. If y'all got to tip out, I understand, but I want you to get, I've been waiting a long time to preach this. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, I want to show you what kind of person Job was. After the parties were over at the children's house, after the children stayed up all night, clubbed all night, went to Las Vegas and had parties and traveled all over the world and had parties, mom and daddy had to pray. Here's what it said. Job would get up early in the morning. Mother Jackson, you're familiar with that, aren't you? And offer a burnt offering for each of his children. Woo. For Job said to himself, listen, perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. Here's a man who prayed for his children when they didn't have sense enough to pray for themselves. But something happened. There was a day when the angels of God and others came to present themselves before God. Chapter 1 says, and the adversary, Satan, the accuser, showed up also. And God asked him, where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Listen, the Lord asked Satan. Satan did not bring up Job's name. Oh, I feel like preaching. God asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Satan replied, I know all about Job. That's Daryl Jackson's interpretation. Satan's replied, yes, but Job, whew, this is going to make you shout, has good reason to fear God. Even the devil knows when you are protected. Can I preach? May I preach? Even the devil knows when God's got you covered. Ooh. Satan said, you have put a wall of protection around him, his house, his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. Verse number 11, but reach out and take it away. And everything you've given him, and I will have him curse you to your face. God said, all right, test him. How many of you, God is so confident in your faithfulness that he allows the devil to test you? Some of you, when the devil gets on your track, trying to turn you back, you ought to jump up and shout, because the only reason he's after you is because he doesn't have you. Woo. The only reason he's after your family is because he doesn't have your family. God gave the enemy permission to test Job. And it began. Thank you, upstairs. It began. Job lost 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yokes of oxen, 500 female donkeys. Woo! Job lost his health. All but verse 19. Get it for me. Precedes verse 20. It's one thing to lose your stuff, but it's another thing to lose a child. I don't know, because I haven't experienced that. Thank you, Lord. But there's some of you in here. In fact, y'all I just want you to be a testimony. Everybody in here who's ever lost a child, just stand up to your feet, because I just want folk to see that there's some of us in here, some of you in here have been through. Everybody's ever lost a child. You know, oh, good God Almighty. Everybody else, clap your hands and give God a praise and say, I'm praying for you. You may be seated. Suddenly, verse 19, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house where all the children were, all sides. The house collapsed. And here are the words I want you to see. Woo. Here are the words that I hope no one in here ever get to experience. And someone came to Job and said, all your children are dead. Not one, not two, but all your children are now dead. Seven sons, three daughters are all now dead. All of these unimaginable things happened to Job simply because God allowed the enemy to put him to the test. The testimony of Job teaches us that it is possible to still be grateful. Whew. After painful, unexpected losses and challenges and tragedies, Job is an example for all of us to remember that in spite of what we may go through, what may happen in our lives, God is still good and God is worthy to be praised. Now, I had to put it in context to let you see verse 19 so you can now clearly understand verses 20, 21, and 22. He writes verse 20 after verse 19. And here it is. Job stood up, having received the word that all your children are dead. And all that Job lost happened one after another after another, because the Bible says as one messenger of bad news spoke, another came in. But verse 20, Job stood up, tore his robe in grief. See, just because you're righteous doesn't mean you don't grieve. So I don't like folk telling folk you ought to get over it. No, grieve however you want, whatever you want to do. If you want to have a conversation with your relatives every day, you want to go by the cemetery, whatever you want to do, you do your grief. And don't allow all of these super holy folk to give you their opinion on how you ought to grieve until it happens to them. Job tore his robe in grief, shaved his head, fell to the ground to worship. He said, and I quote, "I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave." Job says, "The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. I want to share with you from these amazing words of Job three distinct homiletical insights as it relates to gratefulness taken from the testimony of Job. Can I preach this? Three things that I want you to take note of as it relates to being grateful, taken from this incredible testimony by Job. Number one is this: gratefulness is trusting God when things in our lives are falling apart. Help me preach this and say, neighbor, gratefulness is trusting God when things fall apart. Whew, in our lives. Job writes in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, the King James Version says this: "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." I'm gonna trust in the Lord until I die. Is there anybody in here who can't trace him, but you can still trust him? Anybody don't understand him, but you can still trust him? Is there anybody that's trusting God even when you don't understand what God's up to? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I will always trust in the Lord. Trust him. Trust him. Lord, I trust you. Somebody throw those hands up and say, Lord, I trust you. I can't explain. I don't know why, but I trust you, Lord. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Listen, Job refused to let his pain turn to bitterness. Bitterness is a demonic force from the pits of hell. You tell anybody I said it. That's right. And if you are a child of God, you ought to be able to overcome bitterness with the Holy Ghost. And if you can't overcome bitterness, you don't really have the Holy Ghost. Tell them I said it. If you're home mad right now, you ain't got it. Because the Holy Ghost makes you put on your big boy pants. Pull them up and say, I'm mad, but I still love the Lord. I still worship God. I still do what God has called me to do. Nobody that loves God sit home mad because folk got on their nerve. Let me let you in on something that's not a big secret. People will always get on your nerve. May I preach? Can I let you in on something? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, there will always be people who will do you wrong. But you've got to hold your head up high. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Look at your neighbor and say, I refuse to be bitter. The antithesis of bitterness is joy. You've got to replace bitterness with joy. With joy do I draw waters out of the well of salvation. I know how to praise God when folk get on my last nerve. I know how to dance when folk treat me bad. Is there anybody that know how to give God a dance in the presence of your enemies? Y'all got 30 seconds to act like you still got some joy in you. Come on. I will bless the Lord.
tears from your eyes. Woo. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. Somebody owe God a praise. If you want to get on the enemy's nerve, give God your best praise right now. Bless him. Bless him. Wave at three people, say, bless the Lord. Say, I will bless the Lord. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, I've got many reasons to be bitter, but the devil is a liar. I replace my bitterness with praise and joy. Woo! Do we have time to support the Lord our God? Told me life is too short for me to waste any of my breaths, my minutes, my hours, my days on being mad at you. Okay, you are not that important. Okay, look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, you are not that significant that you take up my time being mad at you, because I've got to praise God from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Somebody give God your best praise. Are there any praisers right now that know how to give God a praise? Woo. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I... Woo! May I preach? Can I preach? I feel like preaching. His faith, Job's faith and trust in God, never wavered. Some of you are too sometimey. Some of you are too spiritually fickle. Your faith and praise waver based on your mood or attitude. But is there anybody in here that says, my faith and trust in God will never... I still trust you. Lose my job, I still trust you. Repossess my car, I still trust you. If I got to catch the bus, I'll trust you all the way to the bus stop. Woo. If I've got to take a ride, if I've got to ask somebody to pick me up, I'm still coming to church. I'm going to be like Mother Lottie Reese. When I walk in the doors, I'm going to come in dancing and praising God. Is there anybody know that I've got a reason to praise God? Woo. Second key homiletical insight taken from the text concerning gratefulness is this. Gratefulness is worshiping God in spite of our situation. Look at verse 20 in the text. And Job fell to the ground to worship. He did not fall to the ground in despair, but he fell to the ground to worship. Look at your neighbor, say, if I fall down, it's because I'm falling down to worship. Make no mistake about it. If I fall to my knees, it is to worship God. Is there anybody in here that ever had to fall down to worship? Tell the enemy, if you knock me down, you just got me closer on my knees. He fell down on the ground to worship. Here's what God dropped in my spirit. Worship, look at this, is how he survived the pain. Worship is my antibiotic. Worship is my medicine. Worship is my Tylenol. Worship is whatever you take to make you feel better. Worship helps me to survive the pain. For when I feel the pain, I don't have to reach for the Advil, the Tylenol. I don't have to reach for the painkiller. I have a painkiller, and it is, I will bless the Lord at all times. Somebody ought to try. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, help me try Jesus. I heard Mother Maddie Harris say, I tried Jesus, and he's all. Have you tried Jesus? Have you tried Jesus? What you know about Jesus? Somebody right now, you are in pain. You are going through something. Your heart has been hurt. Your emotions have been hurt. But I need you to do me a favor. I need you one time to stand to your feet and say, I will worship. My worships. Here is your antibody. Clap your hands, open your mouth, and bless God. Woo! Look at your neighbor and say, you better give me some room. I'm about to take my medicine. I'm about to take my medicine. When I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, well, got 60 more seconds. 60 more seconds to give God. Don't dance. Hold it, hold it. Hold it. We'll get there. Because when we get there, I may not come back, okay? We'll get there. But look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, worship is how I survive. I've got to come to church. I've got to praise God. I've got to clap my hands. Job did not allow his tragedies to stop his. And point number three, as you remain standing. Woo! I wanted to say the praise for number three. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor. Woo! Just lean on somebody. Get close to somebody. I know you don't hug and touch because I know stuff is going around. But just wash your hands after church. Make sure you sanitize after church. But look at your neighbor. I never could figure out if they breathe on you all service. What make you think when they touch you, you're going to get some? If they're breathing and get to you to touch it. That's it. Number three, neighbor, gratefulness is knowing that God is not through blessing us despite how it may appear. Job chapter 42 verse 10, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Get you a praise partner and say, neighbor, I am still grateful because I know that God is not through blessing me. What he did before, he'll do it again. Tell your neighbor, God has not given up on you. Somebody ought to praise God for the second coming of your blessing. somebody say, it's coming. It's coming. Whatever you lost, God can give you double for your trouble. Whatever the enemy thought he took away, God can bless you more than what you've ever had before. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. And now give God some. Somebody say, I'm still grateful. Oh, I am. Oh. Any grateful folk? Here's what I want. I need at least 100 people still grateful to leave your seat, come stand at the altar, look me in the eye and say, Pastor Jackson, after all the things I've been through, my testimony is I am still. Worship! Worship! Oh! Worship! Lord, I'm grateful. Lord, I'm grateful. You didn't have to do it. What you did. Next week's message. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, I am grateful and I'm thankful. Woo! I need to go. I need to go. But one more time, thank you, Lord. Come on. I want you to hear the words of this song. Next week's message, you don't want to miss it, is entitled, Just Say Thank You. Okay. I don't care what you go through, you've got a reason to be thankful. J.J. Harrison wrote this song. And our very own Janelle Mitchell is going to come along with the team. I'm grateful for all the things you've done for me. Don't say it if you don't mean it. Somebody look at somebody else and say, I'm so grateful for all the things. Lord, I'm so grateful. Woo! Should have lost my mind. Woo! I should have lost my mind. But I'm grateful. You've been faithful and merciful. For my sins, you have forgiven. I will sing to you all the glory. I will give to you all the praise. I need you to hear these words as Janelle team come.
I'm grateful for all of the things you've done for me. You've been faithful,
merciful.
And merciful.
Faithful.
somebody.
Say
you've been
so good.
You have been listening to the worship service of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off Interstate 77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services right here on the radio. We are also streaming live on our website at bwcar.org, on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you missed any of our services, or if you want to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for a CD or DVD of today's sermon titled I Am Still Grateful, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 030126. Again, that telephone number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 030126. Attention ladies, March is Women's Month at Bible Way, and our women's ministry is hosting a month of events focused on spiritual renewal, fellowship, and fun. The theme for this year is Grateful Women of Bible Way. Go online at bwcar.org for a full list of events and join us. Sunday, March 22nd is Women's Day at Bible Way. Get ready for an inspiring and joy-filled Women's Day celebration. This special day will feature a dynamic worship experience led by our Women's Day Choir and special guest speakers, Dr. Sally Lakin at 8 a.m. and Elder Faith Jacobs at 11 a.m. Make plans to join us Sunday, March 22nd for Women's Day. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by clicking the link on our website at bwcar.org, or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to the number 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please do not mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.